How good is it? I'm up here. My PowerPoint works. I've got a smile on my face. I've got people in the place that I know, and so I'm happy. And it's people I don't know. So welcome. Welcome to church. Hey, it's funny because when I first found Jesus, not even 14 years ago, I said to Naomi, I'll be that Christian. I'll be that Christian bloke. I've got this. I don't think I'll do Bible study or anything like that. And now I'm stood in front of you lot about to give my first sermon. So, hey, it's a wonderful thing. Prayer that changes things. James 5, verses 13 to 20. But before we start, close your eyes, open your hearts. Because what we're going to talk about today is prayer. And there's been a whole heap of it already. But before we start, let's everybody close your eyes. You know it. Father God, open our hearts. Open our ears and our eyes to what this message is going to give us today. Let it be fruitful. And may my little boy pick that ping pong ball out from underneath the drum set. And let us feel you in this house today. Amen. Okay, by way of revision then, I've been given the task to bookend the whole series, all right? So this is the last of the book. So the book of James is an intensely practical, and unlike Paul's letters that were given and written to individual churches, James's book was written for all of us and was delivered to all of us. A short letter addressing challenges from a world sort of sea point of view, rather than a solid theology stance. And so wisdom is specifically mentioned, and it's mentioned in James 1 verse 5, James 3 verses 13 to 18, suggesting in the short sermons that his words are to be digested, acted upon, and in so enabling us to be better people. This is the last part of the last chapter of James, and I've been, as I said, tasked to bookend the series. So what have we taken away in the last 6 weeks? There's been a whole heap of stuff that we're supposed to do to make us better people, upright and standing citizens. So what is it? James 1, 22 to 25, we must do what the word says. We must do what the word says. Responding well to God's trials, James 1, verses 2 to 4, verses 12, James 5, verses 7 to 12. James 1, verses 5 to 8, praying fervently and effectively. More of that will follow in this message. Keeping our tongues under control. Whoa, big one. Mentioned in James 1, verses 19 to 20, James 3, 1 to 12, James 4, 11 to 12. Does that sort of give us a little message, a bit of flavour that our tongues may be out of control sometimes? Avoiding favouritism, James 2, verses 1 to 13. Cultivating a wisdom to bring peace, James 3, 13 to 18. And in a place of division, James 4, verses 1 to 3. And the last piece of James we were talking about prior to this is using our material resources to honour God. James 4, verses 13 and 5, verses 6. All this with a central call from James for a deep, sincere and consistent faithfulness to God. James 4, verses 4 and 5. All challenging points to maintain as we attempt to live our lives to the best of our ability, and we can reinforce this with all this wonderful instruction. Prayer is the answer, and today's message will assist us to get there. All those things we've just talked about for the last 6 weeks is something that we can think about, percolate upon, and action. But today's message about prayer is what loops it all together and enables us with the power of something bigger than us to deliver all those points that we've covered in 6 weeks. So by way of introduction, I'm Chris. And about 6 years ago, Naomi and I agreed to launch a company for a future project, and that name of that company is James 5 Ventures. Bizarre, right? Bizarre. It's still work in progress, and the name was chosen from the book of James because it encourages us to honour others, to be good stewards of our finances and our gifts, patience in waiting for acts to happen, and suppressing the hardships and praying with conviction for our needs and for others. So that's the reason why we called it that company. We've done nothing with it just yet. It's still going. But to give it some context, I was born and raised from a humble non-Christian family. I grew up living in the British equivalent of housing commission in a rough and hard town just north of London. It was a tough upbringing with many hurdles and temptations to be a little bit naughty. And so I joined the British Army at the age of 16 years old. And the reason why I did that, because at the time I believed that that was to save me from early incarceration. That's why I joined the army. And because I really wanted to, but I was going down a path which was not good. All right, and so the British Army saved me. And I thrived in the military. These were my people. And so I salvaged my life and then I enjoyed a great career. I went all over the place, had a fantastic time, saw things, learnt things, and that's it. So when Naomi and I discussed and prayed into the idea and concluded that there are plenty of young adults and children, because I was only 15, 16, that are slipping down a slope, and they've got no army to go to. They don't have that. And so, to capture them, we decided that James 5 Ventures could be the way forward. And they're saying it's still work in progress, but we'll get there. So now, to read the book of James and understand why God planted this seed is truly amazing to me. You know, I didn't know at the time that that's what it was all about. And so when Katrina was just chatting and David at Bible study said, yeah, all right, I looked at the list. I'll do James 5. Why wouldn't I? I mean, let's get to know what I've been gobbing off about. So let's do it. All right, so James 5, 13 to 20. The last 8 verses of the book is both straightforward and controversial. Folk can get perplexed, particularly, and it did happen, it came up in discussion in our Bible study, verses 14 to 16, we'll get into it in a bit, with prayer healing and raising people up. However, Sherlock Holmes often said to Watson, eliminate the impossible, and what remains, however unlikely, must be the truth. These verses are not akin to explaining the Catholic rituals of the last rites, mainly because those people are dead. And what James is suggesting is we're going to get raised up. So we're not dead. We're fully alive. So forget that one. Additionally, James doesn't suggest that this is a group of miracle-filled healers, but lay elders, as we have in Katrina and Ray and Stuart, who don't necessarily glide in and cure us sick, but definitely they can pray for our healing. So it's just normal people. So what is James saying? Prayer is the answer. So we're going to read through the verses now. Verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone amongst you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover over a multiple of sins. Prayer is the answer. Anyone can pray. Through a simple act of connecting with our Father, unlike other religions, we don't require a place. We don't need a time of calling, a ritual, or any rules. You need to humble your heart, your inside, or your outside voice speak. It's that simple. That's all we got to do. You may be comfortable praying. You can play as well. Praying in public, on a train, in a noisy shopping centre, or equally riding your bike, which is what I generally do. Go for a run, sit on top of a hill, sit on the toilet. Whatever suits you, anyone, everyone has access to the Father anytime and anywhere. How amazing is that? Verse 13, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. I can testify that you don't care where you are or who is listening. When the time gets really tough, you unreservedly call out to one or both of your mum or God. I've sat many times, a couple of times, in precarious situations when there's a lot of noise around me, a lot of things being thrown at you, whether it's verbal or kinetic, something that's going to kill you. And I wasn't a Christian. Yeah, I rode that wave. And I don't know how I rode that wave, because all I have is those two words, mum and God. And I wasn't a Christian. I had men, young men, left and right of me, all doing the same thing. God help me. Mum, where are you? And that's your non-Christian way of praying. So when you're in trouble, we're okay, because the majority of us in this room are saved Christian people. And if you're not, have a word with yourself. Because if you're in trouble, just pray. Hand it over. You can't do it. You can't do it. But God can. So just pray. Equally, the second part of verse 12 is joyous. And we need to acknowledge this. Prayer is not just for pain, suffering, or want. God, I need. God, I want. It's not just this. It's about being loud and righteous in praise. For our Father is great. He's amazing, he's loving, and has answered our prayers or just given us a gift. So praise him. That's what it's all about. And that's what it's telling us. God's timing. I strongly encourage all of us to pray on all occasions. As the verses amplify, whether you're troubled, whether you're happy, whether you need healing, whatever it is, everybody's got a situation in their life that you can do nothing about and have no control over. So be determined in your prayer. Pray deep and pray long. Your heavenly Father craves our love. He is our creator. And our connection with him is through our prayers, our unashamed need for him. Our prayers, regardless of how simple or complex, is the music to God's ears. Let him enjoy it because he loves us. God's timing is an important measurement. We must understand we do not wish to hear comments or accusations that someone's faith is not strong enough to bring an answer to that prayer. That can blow someone away. It can destroy a Christian's faith and all that goes with the walk that they're walking. Because people turn around and say, well, you've prayed it. You can't be faithful enough because it hasn't happened. God's timing is the measurement. We must be determined, diligent, and committed to the words we dream and of the delivery to our Heavenly Father. We must be strong, as it is faith in Jesus that is the true power, not our misconception that we are or we must be faithful and therefore left wanting. It's got nothing to do with us. It's our faith in Jesus that is the true faith, and that is what's going to deliver. Don't feel dejected, flat, failed, if you pray and nothing happens. Because it's not about you. It's about your faith in Jesus. So praying to Jesus, praying to God, and not praying for what you want. I want to be healed. Well done. But pray to God, because that's where the faith, that's where the healing comes from. Naomi, how do you pronounce that word? That's the one. Patience when the doors stay closed. Habakkuk 2 verse 3. Closed doors may signal not yet, not never. Courage to obey today. Because the Father controls tomorrow, we can walk faithfully today. Perspectives on delays. Delays often develop character, deepen dependence, and align us with the greater story. Everything happens for a reason, and it's His timing. So don't be dejected if you pray and it doesn't happen straight away. It is our responsibility, whether as a grandparent, whether as a parent, a sibling or a relative, to bring our children and loved ones with us on these challenging journeys, to lead and live by example. Showing the world that with God as our compass, we are different and confident in His love and protection. Verse 16 tells us to confess our sins to each other, that we will be healed, and by our strength and diligence in the word, we will help us along to becoming more righteous, powerful, and effective members of our church and working communities. I urge you to be that person in the community, to stand with someone in need and be their ears and their eyes and their conscience. You are stronger than they are. Find another Christian and walk with that Christian, with that other person who needs you. As three is a powerful number, an unwavering shape of three sides that will not fall over. It is solid. When you take on the enemy, go with superior numbers of mutual support, and you will prevail. James 4 verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Strength in numbers. Three people is better than you doing it on your own. Be that person in the community that finds the people that need you. And go and do it. We must be bold. I suspect we all pray. Of course we do. But how bold is the prayer that we send to our God? Are we placing all our will and our strength and being into the faith of Jesus and therefore able to pray with conviction and success within God's timing? Think big, speak it out, and continue to do so until we hear back from your God. Grab your friends, pray together, and do it regularly. Show God you mean business. And that whatever you're praying for, demonstrate through vigor and consistency that you have faith in Jesus and you are prepared and wait patiently for an answer. A great lady said to me very recently, prayer leads to action. It's got a nice ring to it, hasn't it? Lastly, don't be a bystanding Christian. Verse 19 is blunt. If you see someone wandering, then bring them back. Don't for a moment diminish your responsibility of a shepherd and surmise that someone else is going to go and do the work for you, the work of recovery. Roll up your sleeves, take a determined step forward, and recover that wandering soul. That's our job. If you don't act when you notice the challenge, then one can be lost. And that's a tragedy. What is James calling us to do? To pray. Be bold and assertive. Gather the words. Find God's ear and let him have it. Let us pray now the prayer that was given to us in Luke chapter 11, verses 2 to 4. Let's say this together, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Wow. I remember learning that in junior school. So that's unashamedly the older version. By way of encouragement, as we ponder and savour our thoughts this morning, I will leave you with encouragement from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. And say this one together as well. That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. As we close now, I think that's pretty quick, feel comfortable to pray whenever you wish. It is powerful. Just do it. If anyone has a desire to be prayed over when we finish today, please come to the front or find one of the elders. Find someone. There's no bystanders in here. You know, if you've got it, then give it. And we'll pray over you. I'd like to thank you for listening to me now. God bless you all. And enjoy your praying, eh? Thank you.